Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, October 24th. I'm Abby Larico. When Marty Baron was the executive editor of The Washington Post, the paper adopted the slogan, "Democracy Dies in Darkness." He's now retired, but still believes the beacon of journalism is an essential part of democracy, and vice versa.
You can't have a free and independent press without a democracy. It will not exist. It's as simple as that.
We'll hear more from Marty Baron on the state of journalism ahead of his visit to St. Louis next week. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. We now know members of the St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education sent a letter citing their concerns over Millicent Borishade's leadership before she was fired last week. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reviewed the letter and has this report.
The letter from the school board cites what they saw as a consistent pattern of unauthorized communication from the district to the community. The letter was written by Board President Karen Collins Adams and delivered to Borishade last week. Examples included presenting a report that suggested closing down half of the district schools and the announcement of temporary school closures after the May 16 tornado. The letter sheds light on what drove the board to terminate Borishade without cause last week, but former board member Ben Conover says he doesn't agree with the letter or the decision to fire Borishade. He resigned from the board on Monday. As a result of the vote, the district will pay Borishade about $730,000 in health benefits. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis machinists will vote on a modified contract offer from Boeing this weekend. This announcement came a day after union leadership refused to bring the contract for a vote to members. A Boeing spokesperson said in an email the union's bargaining committee changed course after discussions yesterday. Union leadership on Wednesday called the offer, which adds to the wage increase for top-paid employees but cuts down on attendance additives, insulting. Union members will vote from 8 to 11 a.m. on Sunday. The city of St. Louis has some new tools and plans that officials say will help more smoothly deal with snowfall this winter. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on how Mayor Kara Spencer's administration is prepping for the season.
After a snow and ice storm earlier this year made city streets impossible to navigate, Spencer says the city is stockpiling more salt and preparing to use new plow trucks ahead of the winter. Four smaller trucks could potentially be used on some side streets, which traditionally haven't been plowed in the city. Spencer says she's not promising that all city side streets will be treated during a winter storm.
We are preparing to be able to do those. We are going to be relying on and working with the judgment of our street department on a case-by-case basis on how we're able to do that work.
The city is also boosting on-call pay to incentivize city workers with commercial driver's licenses to sign up for snow removal shifts. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County deer hunters will be required to bring in their game for testing during deer season's opening weekend next month. The Missouri Department of Conservation has added 12 new counties to its list of those requiring testing for chronic wasting disease. CWD kills the deer it infects after misfolded proteins in the brain cause the deer to stop eating. It spreads primarily by contact, so early identification of cases is crucial. Mandatory testing is meant to catch the first CWD cases in a county or in the surrounding 10 miles. It does not indicate a major uptick in disease in the area. Jason Isabel is the MDC's science program coordinator and says opening weekend sampling, especially in regions recently added to the mandatory testing zone, is important to prevent the spread.
But it allows us to collect typically about 20,000 samples in a two-day period to get a better understanding of where CWD exists on our landscape.
Opening weekend, hunters must take their deer or the head of the deer to a sampling station in their county. The test should take no more than 10 minutes. Illinois lawmakers are still undecided on whether to redraw the state's congressional map, but they're running out of time. They're considering the mid-cycle change in response to Republican-leaning states that have redrawn their maps to benefit Republican candidates. The second half of the fall veto session happens next week, and the deadline for candidates to file for next year's primary is November 3rd. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker suggests a new map is still on the table.
The more that Donald Trump takes on this redistricting mid-decade and doing it only for the reason that he knows he's going to lose in 2026. You know, that's something that should weigh on the minds of people who are considering whether or not Illinois should do something about it.
But Illinois' map is already drawn to heavily favor Democrats, and there are concerns new maps would dilute minority voting blocks. Missouri-born pop star Chapel Roan has announced the launch of a project supporting LGBTQ plus communities throughout the country, including two community centers in Missouri. Rebecca Smith reports the Midwest Princess Project will focus on transgender youth.
In her announcement, Roan says she partnered with several LGBTQ plus groups during her latest tour and intends to donate additional money to at least six organizations. Mel Constantine Maceo is a board member at the Center Project, an LGBTQ plus community center based in Columbia and one of the intended recipients. They say it's important that Roan is bringing awareness to Midwest community centers.
Where we're under political attack, where we don't have as many resources to do like big things.
Constantine Maceo says the additional funding from the Midwest Princess Project hasn't come yet, but could be used to hire an executive director and expand programming. I'm Rebecca Smith.
Marty Baron has spent his life working in journalism, from the Miami Herald to the Boston Globe to his most recent position as the executive editor of the Washington Post, where he retired in 2021. Baron will be the featured guest at the Gateway Journalism Review's First Amendment event on Sunday, November 2nd. St. Louis on the Air producer Olivia Mizell spoke with Baron about the state of journalism and how trust in the industry compares to when Baron started his career in the 1970s.
Well, I would say it's extremely different. Keep in mind, in the 1970s, we had the disclosures about Watergate. We had the Pentagon Papers disclosure by the New York Times, Watergate by the Washington Post. I think the public could see that the press was serving the public interest. And trust in the press was somewhere about 70% at that time, which was extraordinarily high. The entire makeup of the media industry was completely different. You had a limited number of television networks. You had strong local newspapers that were monopolies or oligopolies in their individual markets. And you didn't have an internet. So there were a tremendous number of differences between then and now.
You're coming to St. Louis to headline an event with the Gateway Journalism Review, and your presentation is titled The Case for Worry and for Optimism. Let's start with the not-so-great part of that. What is the case for worry?
Well, I think there's a lot. I mean, you know, over the 50 years of my career, I've always known a free press in this country. I took a free press and free expression generally for granted. And now I don't think I can take any of that for granted. There's a majority in Congress that's essentially servile to the president. There's a majority on the Supreme Court that's been highly deferential and has handed him powers beyond what any president before him ever had. I can't be certain these days that the press will fulfill its responsibility to hold a president to account as it should. And frankly, as the founders expected it to do that. That's why they, as I mentioned before, that's why they drafted the First Amendment. It was for the very purpose of having a press that kept watch over government. And now you have a president who is doing everything in his power to undermine the press, to sabotage its economic sustainability, to damage its legal position, and to further undermine its reputation with the public. You know, he's attacked the press something like 3,500 times since he entered the political arena in 2015. He's now filing baseless lawsuits against the press. He's putting pressure on owners who have other commercial interests. And he's threatening them with regulatory reprisals, for example. Their mergers won't be completed, or they won't get contracts, or things of that sort.
The Washington Post adopted a slogan in 2017, "Democracy dies in darkness," as I'm sure you know. Do journalism organizations have a role in safeguarding democracy today, and should they be explicitly pro-democracy?
Yeah, well, I do know. I was there when that happened. I participated in those meetings. So, yeah, I think we do have a role in that. I think we should be pro-democracy. The reality is that You can't have a free and independent press without a democracy. It will not exist. It's as simple as that. And when you look at other countries, when you have leaders with authoritarian tendencies, authoritarian impulses, practically the very first thing they do is go after the traditional press. They want to quash any independent arbiter of truth, starting with the press, but also moving on to historians, scientists, academic scholars, you name it, politicians who think differently. That's what they do. And so in order for a free and independent press to exist, we have to have a democracy. And in order for a democracy to be a true democracy, there has to be a source of independent information.
That's former Washington Post executive editor Marty Baron. He spoke with St. Louis On the Air producer Olivia Mizell. You can hear his thoughts on Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos and much more today on St. Louis On the Air. That's at noon and 7 p.m. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.